Welcome to Frugal SEO, the only podcast on earth where you'll learn about SEO, how to grow your website, how to grow your traffic, how to grow your prospects without spending your life savings. I'm your host, Nicholas, and in today's episode, we'll learn about what is an effective use of SEO, but also 8 different things or 8 different mistakes that you're committing in terms of SEO. These mistakes are not only making you lose resources, such as time and money, but also working as a barrier for your website's growth. So let's begin. What is considered an effective use of SEO? The answer is quite simple. An ineffective use of SEO or local SEO, since we're talking about small business SEO, is any single action you take as a website owner or your website that doesn't have a real impact on your business's rankings. In the best scenario, you're just curious about mistakes you could commit in your SEO strategy, but I know a good portion of you committed these mistakes and are looking for an answer, and today you'll learn everything about it. So, as I said, an ineffective use of SEO is anything you do that doesn't have a real impact on your business. And it can even go to the point where competitors start outranking us, start taking our customers, our prospects, our leads, and eventually dooming our website. The first mistake or ineffective use of SEO that you're committing is lacking reviews. Reviews are extremely important for your business, not only because they allow internet users to see how your product or service has been viewed by others, but also because they help you rank in Google. Let's look at this from the perspective of a user who searches for best dentist in Milan and receives the following results. First result, one from the best dentist in town, but one who lacks any reviews on Google. I remember in my personal country or city that there has always been a group of selected doctors which are specialized in different things, such as dermatologists, some of them are focused on anesthesiology. These are well-known doctors, but funny enough, they are known by word of mouth. This is the first example, a doctor such as the one I'm describing, the best doctor in town who doesn't have reviews and who doesn't have an online presence. The other kind of result that you could get after searching for best dentist in Milan is one from a dentist who finished college 2 years ago, doesn't really have a name for himself, or at least doesn't have the experience to back it up, but he has established himself as an expert in the eyes of social media and review sites. Maybe he's doing live sessions every single week, maybe he's uploading daily stories, maybe he's creating daily content for social media, and at the eyes of normal people, let's say, people like you and me, he is the best of the best. If the user knew about Dentist A, he would probably go to his lunch without thinking much about it. At the end of the day, that first dentist or first search result that I described is from one dentist who is the best in town. The thing is, us as a searcher don't usually know who the best dentist is. That's why we're looking on the internet searching for the best dentist in Milan. Now what will happen next is that Dentist A, which is the best dentist in town, will lose a customer, and a less experienced dentist who just left college 2 years ago will book a new session for the day. Not having an online presence or reviews is one of the most basic mistakes that I see small business or businesses in general commit in their local SEO strategy. In order to fix this, encourage users to leave reviews in exchange for, let's say, a newsletter, a freebie, such as an ebook, which by the way, I've made my on-page SEO freebook available for every single podcast subscriber, so be sure to check it out at the link in the description or go to seoforablog.com/SEO checklist. But coming back, reviews are really important and you should really work your way into creating a good review base. The next mistake that I see local businesses commit is not caring about EAT. EAT stands for expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. EAT is a very well-known term in the webmaster environment. It originated back in 2018 when Google rolled an update focused on the safety of the user and exposing the need for data-based articles. In summary, as a business owner who wants to rank in local rankings, you'll have to create content that matches users' intent better than anyone. Articles that link to industry authorities that can back up every single word you write, and also become a transparent website that cares for its users and isn't associated with anything negative. If you get a lot of bad press, bad reviews, if your articles are not data-driven and you just write without any scientific backup or any real authority backing up what you're saying, Google will not trust your website as it should do. The third thing that I see local businesses commit, and it's a complete disaster in terms of the resources they use to work on the local SEO strategy, is focusing on volume instead of search intent. One mistake that every website owner does is focusing too much on traffic, when traffic is not actually the way you'll make money. Traffic is an SEO ranking factor, not because Google likes numbers, but because high traffic is usually accompanied by good click-through rate, proper keyword research, well-written content, but traffic itself is not the answer and shouldn't be the thing you're aiming for. What you should be aiming for is creating content that is actually searched for, but that translates into bookings for your servers or purchases of your product. While you're bragging about your 30,000 monthly viewers and 50 orders per month, your competition is probably happy about their keyword research strategy, which has driven them much more orders with much less traffic. I know that this can be hard for some of you, and keyword research is not something that you just go to a keyword research tool, which by the way I'll link in the description, some of the most recommended ones, but it's not something that you just go to a keyword research tool, type, let's say, best SEO podcast, get a list of results, export it into an Excel file, and just pick the lowest competition ones. It's not that simple. You gotta work on your eye and develop a system that allows you to see low competition keywords with decent volume that will allow you to rank fast, but also that will bring you customers. For those of you who have no idea about how to do this, I do have a service and do have discounts for podcast subscribers, so be sure to ask me for them if needed. Of course, if you have any questions regarding keyword research, I'm more than down to help you for free. Coming to the fourth mistake that I see local businesses commit is not caring about site speed. While this might sound obvious, I can't count the number of businesses' websites that take more than 6 seconds to load. They'll go with themes from ThemeForest and all these fancy sliders, all these fancy animations that take ages to load. Of course, a user may wait if it's an established brand that he must contact. Let's say I'm having a problem in Amazon, I wanna buy something or ask for a refund. Of course, if Amazon takes 20 seconds to load, I'll wait, but you're most likely not Amazon. 2017, Google released a study where they wanted to measure the relationship between slow loading sites and a user bounce rate, revealing how as page load time goes from 1 second to 3 seconds, the probability of bounce rate increases to 32%. When the time it takes to load goes from 1 second to 5 seconds, the probability of bounce rate increases 90%. So, in summary, if your website takes 5 seconds to load, you're already losing 90% of the people interested in the article you just wrote, meaning you'll decrease in rankings, increase bounce rate, or just get less customers. I don't think going further than 5 seconds is needed, but just be sure that if your website takes longer than 5 seconds, your probability of bounce rate increases in 106%. So, in summary, please measure your website site speed and keep it on point. Look for a good hosting such as the ones I wrote in my hosting guide, hire a developer or someone who knows about website speed. I don't really use one, so I can't recommend you one, but please search for one. Look for plugins such as WordPress Rocket, image optimization plugins. Look basically for anything that can help you with site speed. The fifth thing that I see local businesses do is keyword stuff. As stated in my SEO guide for beginners, is one of the most common practices among small businesses and bloggers who read a couple of paragraphs on the importance of adding keywords to their website and they think that they already have enough knowledge to start working on their site. They start writing things, let's say if you're focused again on the dentist example, they'll focus on dentist services in Madrid as a keyword, and by focus I mean they write that term 30 times in a 500 word article. Let's be honest, how many times would you write dentist services in Madrid without sounding unnatural? Probably 4 or 3 times at max. Or another thing they will do is they aim for a keyword density of 2% after reading it at a blog of a high school kid who watched an SEO video on YouTube and started writing articles. Of course, you're a podcast subscriber, so you know that keyword density is not something to follow because you saw the last episode, but still, keep in mind if you're not listening regularly to this podcast, that a keyword density is not something you should focus on. So, what you should do instead is avoid pushing keywords in your content, HTML tags such as H1s, H2s, or metadata. Once you start writing with search intent in mind and becoming the best possible answer to a user's problem, you'll see how all these keywords flow in naturally. Adding your keyword in your H1, permalink, subtitle, and image alt text is sometimes all that it takes for the keyword, as long as you wrote it with the user in mind. The sixth thing that I see businesses coming in terms of SEO is saving cost. You may be the lawyer with the most experience in your whole town, but unsurprisingly, online users do not know that. Parallel to this, you might write the most in-depth articles about the legal aspects of owning a pet, but if no one is searching for that, you won't see any benefit from writing an article every 2 days. Search engine optimization is not a waste of time. I've written about it, I've recorded a podcast about it, and shouldn't be something to hesitate spending on. It's a group of processes you must consider even before opening the website itself. Otherwise, you might find out after 6 months of posting regularly that all the money you've spent so far and resources has gone down the drain. I'm not saying you should hire a consultant. What I'm trying to say is that there should be someone focused on SEO as soon as the site launches. It could be you, it could be a coworker, it could be a family member, hopefully not your nephew who does every single task you ask him for. But there must definitely be someone working on SEO. Once you start getting results and seeing how important and profitable it can be, you can of course go ahead and hire someone more professional to take it to the next step. The seventh thing you should take into consideration and you're probably not doing is forgetting about directories such as Google My Business and Bing Places. Not being in Google My Business is probably one of the worst, if not the worst, sins you can ever commit if you're trying to rank your business locally. It's the most important directory in the whole internet and the one that Google takes more into consideration when ranking a website. Of course, social media is important and so is content, but the first thing you should focus on once your business is running and is ready to attract traffic is to sign up for Google My Businesses. It doesn't really take much time, you'll get a pin sent to your home address and you'll start seeing results from your business showing up after certain search queries are written on the search bar. It'll help you appear on Google searches, Google Maps, and if your website runs in a review base, people will see reviews about your business and decide if it's worth the visit. And to wrap this up, this episode, let's finish with the last sin that you could commit as a small business, which is using a false location. I don't know why you want this in the first place, but I've read cases of businesses who think their potential customers are some kind of wizards who can detect where they operate from. They write false information just to skip time and skim through the registration process from Google My Business and write the location they first come up with. Sarcasm aside, if you're running a long-term legal business that you want to grow and live from, lying to both search engines and potential customers shouldn't be an option, and if it's an option for you, please reconsider it. That's it for today's episode. You've learned what an ineffective use of local SEO is, but also 8 mistakes that you're probably committing or your friends are committing. Related to that, be sure to share the episode, but also comment which mistakes you were committing and which ones were you not. Do you think your local SEO is on point? In a scale of 0 to 10, which grade would you give it? Please let me know in the comments. I'm your host, Nicholas, and I highly invite you and encourage you to subscribe to the Frugal SEO podcast. I hope your website is already growing from this episode, and be sure to tune in for the next one.